We have another excellent show for you. My guest is Tammy Kent. She is author of Wild Feminine, a creative woman with three sons, who's going to discuss exploring how to access the power of the feminine, which includes how to give boys greater access to the feminine. But before we get to our guest, I have a promise to keep. And I have been keeping this promise for a few months now in honor of Keith Olbermann of Countdown fame on MSNBC, who we know will be back on June 20th as the news director on Al Gore's current TV. Well, I'll ask the question Keith would have asked every night. Mr. Boehner, where are the jobs? We thought you were so concerned, or so you told the voters to get elected, but you've really pulled a bait and switch, haven't you, Mr. Boehner? All you seem to be working on is redefining rape, trying to take the rights of women to their bodies away from them. This year you haven't put forth any jobs bills, but you have put forth over 900 bills across the country to take away the rights of women. All the grand old plutocracy seems to be doing is using the deficit crisis to thwart democracy, as radical Republican governors dissolve towns, neutralize elected officials' power, and cancel contracts. And in Maine, you're trying to roll back child labor laws. Is it 1920, Mr. Boehner? It's unbelievable. But we see you. You aren't able to hide what your party is about or who it serves. We know you want to privatize Medicare and food stamps, making more parasitic CEOs. But where is the moral justification? We know you want to take away unemployment insurance after supporting corporations that get their tax breaks to ship jobs overseas. You know, maybe it's because of your heroine, Ayn Rand, who believes the only people of value are those at the top and the rest are the real parasites. You must be very certain, Mr. Boehner, you're rich enough and your cronies are rich enough that you'll never need the social safety net. But what about women? 70% already retire in poverty. Millions of kids already go to bed hungry, and you want to cut more and more and more from them while you give your corporate welfare queens even more. That includes the military-industrial complex. What would Jesus say about this Rand-inspired selfishness, Mr. Boehner? Maybe you and the Republican governors should just pass a law now and get it over with. You can call it Republicans for Soylent Green. We know who have their hands on our throats, Mr. Boehner, and it's not the Democrats. You got yours, Mr. Boehner, so excuse the expression, I guess screw everybody else. Well, let's see if the voters buy what you're selling the next time around, or if you've overreached and overplayed your hand. And listeners, if you've missed the special voice of Keith Olbermann, or if you've forgotten by now what Keith's voice sounds like, listen close.
Let's play oddball. Which of these stories will you be talking about tomorrow? Today's worst person in the world.
I thought that might be a cute little thing to add to the show as a lot of us anxiously await Keith's voice to the airwaves. But next I'd like to get to a few announcements, though, before we get to the heart of our show with Tammy Kent. My first announcement is that Voices of the Sacred Feminine is now on iTunes. Thanks to a loyal listener by the name of Penny, she set things up so that you can actually access the show from iTunes. She said to download your shows in iTunes, it's very easy. All you do is go to iTunes and open the iTunes store. She says the search box is in the upper right-hand corner. Either enter the words Karen Tate or Voices of the Sacred Feminine in the search box. The show will pop right up, and the episodes are all right there for downloading. And there's also a button for subscribing to the podcast there as well. So please take advantage of that. Tell your friends. And I have another announcement for you. I want to make sure you know about this wonderful store. It's been open less than a year in North Hollywood, if you're in the Southern California area. It's called The Green Man. I was actually there for the first time Sunday. I was taking part in a healing fair and gave a talk to the community about the ideals of the sacred feminine as a means of healing our society and ourselves. And I just wanted to say I was so impressed with the store, such wonderful energy, wonderful people there, and the products that they're carrying are just beautiful. So they're on Lancashire Boulevard. You can Google them, The Green Man. Their website is just, I believe, greenman.com. So if you're in this area, you'll want to make sure you are aware of the store. Lots of activities happen in there, classes and all sorts of things if you want to, you know, be part of the community, or if you, you know, would just like to go shopping. It's wonderful. Don't miss it. Also, I'm going to be in Wisconsin in just a few weeks, the first weekend of June, at a retreat sponsored by Gaia's Womb called The Sacred Feminine, Changing the Paradigm. I'll be there all weekend, but my formal presentation is Saturday when I'll be presenting my workshop called Living the Sacred Feminine Lifestyle from Patriarchy to Partnership. And you can find out more about this event by going to Gaia's Womb. Gaia's Womb is in their 13th year, and this year they're calling forth the Woman Tribe to gather at the Gateway to Summer for a very special weekend retreat. The other presenter, along with myself, is Judika Isles, and this is the description for the weekend. I'll just read it for you. All of the major world religions deprecate women to some degree. Former President Jimmy Carter has articulated this well. As he said, quote, "It is the religions of the world which lead the way and provide cover for the abuse of women," unquote. Carter called mistreatment of women the most serious and all-pervasive and damaging human rights abuse on earth. But now in 2011, quietly, steadily, there comes a shift where the old paradigm has very much been one of the destructive masculine, as evidenced by the devastation of the environment, the wars, the dictatorial governments that dominate our planet. The new paradigm brings into consciousness that this destructiveness is a manifestation of the masculine when it is disconnected from the feminine, taking the form of reckless, ungrounded action. And it's only through the awareness and acknowledgement of this that a new paradigm is able to emerge. So if you're in Wisconsin, come with us on a journey of exploration from the hallowed halls of the goddess temples of the ancient past and forward, perhaps to glimpse the hallowed halls of the houses of government of the nations of the world of the future, a future in which the sacred feminine rises once again to partner with men and to facilitate the peaceful healing of our world. So join us, empower yourself, learn how to become her sacred roar. So again, that website is Gaia's Womb. GAIASWOMB. And please remember, or maybe it's the first time you've heard, that Blog Talk is no longer free to hosts like myself. This last year, we have had to start paying for this platform we provide free of charge to at least, I know, my guests. I don't charge them to come on the show, but I do pay for the airtime myself. Now it's going to cost a minimum of about $40 each month, and it's not a lot yet, but we are starting to look for sponsors or even a few people who might commit to helping us pay for the show to keep us on the air. So remember, like Goddess teaches us, what you tend to, what you nurture, what you nourish, well, it thrives. And sometimes when you neglect things, it withers. So thanks to those of you who have already sent in donations. And if those of you out there enjoy the show, I hope perhaps you can send in a donation of any amount you can afford. You can actually do that by going to my website, KarenTate.com. If you go to the Goddess Store page, there are PayPal buttons which will enable you to just send in a donation. And please remember, if you're looking at my show page on Blog Talk, remember the three F's. Those are favorite, friend, and follow. I'd love it if you would mark Voices of the Sacred Feminine a favorite and be sure to become our friend. And maybe most important is to click on follow so that you never miss notice of my new guests each week. That way you're a part of our growing family of listeners across the globe. And if I run out of time during the week to send out email notices as reminders, well, you'll get your own straight from Blog Talk, and you won't have to get word by being in my database. Also, please remember and tell your friends that I am going to be leading a tour to Turkey in November. Turkey, or Anatolia, as it was once called, the land of the nourishing mothers. The tour is the first 2 weeks in November, and it's for women and men. We're going to be going to places like Istanbul, Ephesus, Chateau Hayuk, Side, Lagina. And Lagina is where we find Hecate's only known standing temple that the contemporary man has found so far. We'll be doing activities like dream incubations, rituals at the site, because often we're there totally by ourselves. We're going to enjoy Turkish baths. We're going to partake of mineral baths near the domain of Aphrodite outside Aphrodisias, sacred shopping, wonderful food. So if you're hearing the call for a sacred journey to satisfy your mind, your body, or your soul, please go to my website, KarenTate.com. People are signing up already, but we do still have seats left. We will probably sign people on till the end of June. So don't hesitate or delay if you want to be sure to secure your place on the tour. And while you're at my website, please take a look at my two books. They have garnered prestigious endorsements and won awards. Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations is the first book, and the second is Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth. There's a special deal there. If you buy both books from me, you get a better price than you can get on Amazon. And there's also free stuff at the website. I'd like to always remind you of the free stuff on that very same Goddess Store page. There are free downloadable meditations that I've gotten really good feedback from, and I hope you'll go there, download them, and enjoy. But let's turn our attention to tonight's show. You know, many of you have emailed me over the course of the last few months as we've sort of incorporated this sort of official intro that I often share with you before I start chatting with the guest. You know, it sort of sets the tone for what we talk about here on Voices of the Sacred Feminine, because, you know, it is a little bit different from your traditional radio show. You know, we talk about things that mom said, you know, we shouldn't talk about at the dinner table. We talk about sex. We talk about power. We talk about politics. We talk, you know, talk about all of those things that sometimes, you know, some people get uncomfortable with, but they're necessary to talk about because women have been so denigrated in our society, and these are the topics related to women. You know, as many of you know, adversaries of the sacred feminine tried to sweep away awareness and knowledge of her for all time. And with that sweeping away, when the great she was made to disappear because of the religion of patriarchy, of selfish and disconnected men and their war gods, well, you know, women in their power, their leadership, their spiritual authority were thwarted, repressed. They became taboo, diminished, and disrespected. That's why here on the show I am dedicated to recovering the great she every week with our wonderful guests, whether she be deity, archetype, or ideal. Yes, myself and my guests, we intend to defy, to taste the forbidden fruit, to be powerful and uppity women, to throw off the shackles, to look under every rock. We are going to look behind every locked door, peer into the abyss of the past. We are going to blaze a trail with our pink machetes. We are going to throw off the shackles. We are going to find out why things are the way they are. How did everything get turned so on its head and become unnatural? And you know what? We are trying every week with tenacity, like water wearing away rock. We are going about setting things right. Why? Because if we want to save ourselves as a species, if we want to uplift women to their rightful place, I think we have no other choice. If we want to restore balance, harmony, wholeness, sanity, peace, well, it's women. It's women of the sacred feminine armed with their like-minded brothers and the ideals of goddess, the divine feminine, who have the potential to set things back on course. So let me just read for you our two mottos that so parallels most of the topics and the guests who are on our show. The first motto here actually comes from the 19th century German philosopher, author Schopenhauer, and he said this, and I believe it's so true: all truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it is accepted for being self-evident. And I think that's what more and more people are seeing. These values of the sacred feminine are self-evident. Maybe it was ridiculed at one time, and maybe it was or is violently opposed, but it is being accepted in all corners for being self-evident. And Gandhi said this: first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. So that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming to win the hearts and minds of people around the planet so that we save ourselves. So let's delay no further because we have a lot to get to tonight. I want to welcome Tammy to the show. I thank her for her patience during my intro, and I'm going to start with sharing her bio with listeners. This is Tammy Ling Kent. She is a woman's health physical therapist, a mother of three sons, founder of Holistic Pelvic Care for Women, and author of Wild Feminine: Finding Power, Spirit, and Joy in the Feminine Body. She is passionate about cultivating the creative energy that is meant to flow through all aspects of woman's life. Her goal is to teach every woman how to read the physical and energetic patterns of the pelvic bowl and restore access to the full range of creative resources, this beauty and wildness within. So please listen to what she has to say tonight, but jot down her website. It's easy to remember. It's wildfeminine.com. That's wildfeminine.com. So Tammy, thank you so much for being on the show tonight and sharing your work in the world with us.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here. I love hearing your passion.
Well, that I have. I have a lot of passion. I mean, ever since I started reading Rhianne Eisler's books and Merlin Stone's books, you know, all those years ago, it just lit a fire under me, and, you know, the fire has just continued to burn. let me start, Tammy, by asking you, you know, you're talking about the power that we have as women from within our body. Mm-hmm. I would imagine you probably have a lot to say about how patriarchy has really tried to encourage women to deny that power. I mean, even if you just look at how the big pharmaceutical companies are trying to get women to take a pill and get rid of their menstrual blood. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think the problem is we've all embodied these patterns so well, too, that sometimes we don't even recognize when they're happening. So it's like they're so much a part of our social and cultural fabric, and then they're in all of our bodies. And so, you know, I think sometimes we see the really big things, but there's so many subtle ways that we've been taught to not stand in our power, which to me is our presence in our body. Full presence in that creative space, and particularly our female organs and our lower body, not just the mental body. And so it's been sort of co-opted and taken out so that we don't even enter that space, so we aren't in our power. And so it's about coming back, and then it does become more and more clear how prevalent this is in all aspects of even our own individual lives as well as the collective.
Well, Tammy, for somebody out there who, you know, we're so busy, we're oversaturated, we're bombarded, what, you know, can you give maybe some examples of how this is happening that we don't even recognize because it's become so much a part of, you know, just the way it is now?
Right. Well, so a big part of it, you know, so I'm working in the female body because as a women's health physical therapist, and I've been doing that for over a decade. And when I first started, I just noticed that there was a real absence when I would go to meet someone in the pelvic bowl. And a women's health physical therapist uses these amazing internal techniques that are intervaginal to really align the body, align the fascia and the organs. And it's so wonderful just for women's health. But energetically, it was like nobody was there, really. I think we only think of our sexual organs either for sexuality or for creating a baby, but we don't really think of them for living our life. And on a sensitive energetic level, we're really absent, and we're kind of, if I was going to say energetically, we're mostly up in our heads and we're not down in the root. And so when I would go to meet people there and bring them down in that awareness, and also in my own self, it's just an absence in this place that can give us that power and that connection on a deep level to our creative energy. So in small ways, what this might look like, and this is, if you have kind of an unbalanced masculine, like you were talking about, what this will look like, but an absence of the feminine, unbalanced masculine, you're going to have that on this basic level, a taskmaster, like you feel like you have to do. So this is a kind of pattern where you might just feel like you have these lists and you have to crunch through them, and it can almost be internally self-punishing if you don't get enough done. And that's one way that right there we can begin to shift and open more into the feminine realm, which gives us more rest and more nourishment, more permission to follow creative cycles, cyclical flow, so that we are in our rest and our nourishment, and we're taking in the awe, and then we're acting from there. So then our masculine becomes more playful and more energized. And as we do that, you know, the reason the feminine is shut down so much in people is, one, it's just a habit, and it's been fractured for a long time, so we don't even know we're missing it in our energy field. But then the other thing is, if people have been in pain, you know, either painful as a child, a home that wasn't very nourishing, that tends to shut down because it's so painful to stay present when there's lack. And so for me, even just when I was listening to you talk, when you were reading that first piece, I stayed in my feminine, but it's very painful to listen to the ways that women have been denigrated and things have been taken away, and that the basic the aspects that are feminine, meaning the children, the home, when someone's sick and they need caretaking, those are all aspects of the feminine. When we realize how little those are given support in this time, it's very painful. So I felt the grief while you were reading that, and that's part of staying in touch with the feminine, is I allow myself to feel that grief. I stay intact with that part of my field. And then also when you're talking about the beauty and the potential of the going to Turkey and all the sights and the sounds and the beauty that's there, then I allow my feminine to really revel in that and feel the delight of that. And that's another simple way that we can begin to heal these patterns for ourselves.
Very interesting. And I'm wondering, too, and maybe this has nothing to do with it at all, so forgive me if this is you know, kind of a off-the-wall question, but when we start to do that, does this in any way affect our sexual pleasure, our ability to have orgasm,
absolutely,
or anything like that?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think one of the biggest, you know, of course, because I'm sitting in the pelvic bowl and I'm listening to women are coming to me to heal things related to the pelvis. So that can be all sorts of things, from pelvic imbalances to lack of feeling pleasure to pelvic pain. And so much is that the creative energies have been shut down. And so as we begin to awaken those energies, yes, pleasure in all its forms comes up. And in fact, in Wild Feminine, I don't talk that much about sexuality, because to me, sexuality is part of this whole, when we have a beautiful, vibrant relationship with our body, then that's sort of a given. So the key piece is healing that connection with the sensations, with the connection, with the energy flow, so that when we feel sensuality, we feel sensual pleasure, whether we're eating or we're out feeling a nice breeze across the body or we're connecting with a lover. It's really being able to be present in your body and feel in a deep way, and that's a tremendous part of sexuality.
So, and so to simplify it, you know, for maybe somebody who hasn't heard these concepts before, it's kind of like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to get this right, it's kind of like if you just sort of stay in your head with your lists, which I have to admit I tend to do, I'm a Virgo, I live by my lists, that's a lot more masculine than if you sort of just let yourself intuitively go with the flow a little bit more, and you're more in the feeling state rather than, oh, I have to get through these lists no matter how much it's going to kill me.
Yes, and it's good to have both. You know, if you just stayed in that dreamy feminine realm, you wouldn't get anything done, because we need that masculine to kind of get us, you know, to actually, I think of the masculine as the playful energy to make things happen, to build, to create, to actually bring it into form. And so, you know, the way I think of it is use that masculine to kind of set up the list, but don't rigidly go through the list, then tap into the feminine and feel the flow. So I use this every day as a busy woman that I am. I do have lists to keep me organized, but then I'm not rigid about getting those done, and I let them shift and flow, and I let them, the most important things rise to the top, and it just kind of is this evolving list that's going on. But the feminine flow is infusing it, so it's guiding me, and it's letting things drop away, and it's if I need a moment of pleasure and I need to go out in the sunshine and take a deep breath, then that's, you know, I drop everything and go do that. And it's just really letting the feminine infuse that masculine, then the masculine becomes much more energized and playful.
Well, and let me ask you this, and I want to preface this question and whatever your answer is going to be with, you know, this is not meant to replace medical advice, you know, but I can't help but wonder if women's conditions like maybe fibroids or, you know, they have painful menstrual cycles and things like that, or is any of these things, is there a right brain sort of reason for these as opposed to just what, you know, your Western medical doctor would say, why these things
absolutely
happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's multiple factors going on here. You know, I've really studied this because I've worked with over 1,000 women, which I think is kind of amazing to have sat with that many women in this intimate space in the pelvic bowl, and I've learned a lot from the body. And the one thing the body is crying out for is more care and attention that really benefits the body. You know, more movement, more, you know, we're sedentary more and more, and that's very difficult for the pelvic bowl. So right there, we're putting a lot of congestion in the pelvis. When we make love, or if we learn how to do our own self-massage, that can help with some of that congestion, because what we need is good blood flow, good energy flow, good chi flow. So on even just on a, it's a kind of physical energetic both, but we need more awareness of this space so we know how to take care of it. And one part of that is having good dynamic muscle engagement, good blood flow, and we can do that through our lovemaking and through learning how to do our own self-massage. We can find a pelvic care practitioner and actually receive it. I think this would be better spent time with women's wellness care. I think Pap exam is fine, but it only catches cellular changes once they're already in place. And a lot of those cellular changes are happening because there's congestion and stagnation before that. Stagnation of blood, stagnation of chi. And so if we were doing this more preventatively, we'd be a lot more vital. And then there's the whole energetic piece, which I've noticed in the body as a body worker, that where people are more present and aware, which is kind of an energetic aspect, they have more vitality in that part of their body, and it's physical and energetic, and the physical really responds to the energetic. So if we, you know, if we are cut off at the, and we aren't going down to the root, either we have shame or pain or just even a habit of not connecting there, then we're not going to have as much vitality in chi, and we are going to have more stagnation, more cysts, more imbalances, more pain. And as we learn how to connect and actually access this energy, and that's really where Wild Feminine came from, was I felt like we needed more information about how to really take care of this part of our body, how to breathe into those organs, how to access the energy, how to understand what they feel like when they're in balance and what they feel like when they're out of balance, because most women are living with imbalances, but they have done it for so long they think it's normal.
Yeah, they don't even, you can't even tell when you're balanced or unbalanced. You're so disconnected, you know.
Right.
So have you actually found that women could reverse things like fibroids,
yes,
rather than having surgery?
Yeah, well, I would say it's still kind of new because, you know, I haven't been working with women long enough over the long haul to say, you know, for sure, like, this person has for sure reduced this fibroid. But I've definitely had them reduce symptoms and increase vitality on all levels, like feeling more connected and aware and vibrant, either in their pelvic floor muscles or in their womb. I've had them clear pain completely that they were having, either with ovulation or with menstruation, because pain of ovulation or menstruation is often the ovary or the uterus working against tension. So when we have tension in that core place, it's much harder for the body to release. And so cycles have gotten brighter and lighter. You know, I have a lot of menopausal women who come to me too, and they feel drier. Their libido sometimes feels lower, and their tissue feels a little bit drier. And as we work on the massage and they work on self-care, they become a lot more energized, and they feel a lot more fluid and a lot more sexual pleasure. So, you know, lots of changes have happened.
If women don't have access to somebody like you in their city, do you tell women how to do this for themselves in your book, Wild Feminine?
Well, it's a little bit of both. There are women's health physical therapists pretty much in any city. It's just that people don't know about them because they aren't in the preventative medicine fields. They tend to be kind of well-kept secret because most women's health physical therapists work by referral from a urologist. So if a woman's having bladder leakage and she goes to a urologist, they might say, oh, why don't you try a women's health physical therapist? But it can help for so many things that I think it would be ideal if women's health physical therapists were just marketing themselves and talking about the work they do more, but it's just kind of how the profession got set up. So what a woman can do is anywhere she is, she can call local physical therapy clinics. She can ask if they have a women's health physical therapist on staff that specializes in internal techniques. So that's one way to tap into that pelvic therapy. There's also something called Mayan massage, Maya massage, M-A-Y-A massage, that's kind of a low belly and sacral massage that works with the blood flow in the core as well. And that's pioneered by a woman named Rosita Arvigo. It's a technique that I've also studied, and she has trained hundreds of practitioners. So they're all over, and their website is arvigotherapy.com, so people can go there. And I talk about this in Wild Feminine too, because I really want people to get more resources to take better care of their bodies, because they feel so much better and they feel more vibrant. And people want to feel creative and vibrant, but they sometimes don't know why they aren't feeling that way. And it can even just start with this kind of care that gets the blood flowing, that gets the chi flowing, that gets you more aware and just feeling more of your energy and vibrance in your center. So, and then I also do teach people how to do, through the book, their own internal massage and talk about it and visualizations of working with the energy. So I try to hit it on a lot of levels so that more people can access their vitality.
Okay. Well, now you've obviously learned an incredible amount, you know, from the female body. You know, talk to us a little bit about that. You know, aside from what we've already said. You know, how did being in touch with the female body, you know, how does it give you this abundant creative potential? You know, you said something about in the information you sent me, it helps us tap into our lives in soul-filled ways. What does that actually mean?
Well, I think of it like this, you know, because I also often work with women postpartum after they've had a baby, so I've been really close to what I call the birth door, where literally I'm helping them balance the energy. And I've also had my own children, so I know what this feels like. It's like the baby comes through, and there's this energy that comes through with them. And if they've had any kind of intervention, sometimes that gets inhibited a little bit. So I actually do a meditation where we bring the energy through. Even though their baby may be here, there's still this kind of energy hung up in the doorway. This is a doorway. It's a sacred place where we enter. And so I've come to understand really the power of it. And so likewise, when we go to our own centers as adults, we can actually call that energy in that comes from that soul seed that got planted as we, you know, it's kind of like we're from source and we have this connection to the divine, and then we bring in threads with us that are woven from our own soul and from the divine cosmo, and then also we come into a body and we come into a family lineage and it gets woven with that. And so it's, you really tap into that the more you kind of meditate into your creative center. You're going to this place that has an ancient quality to it and a depth to it, but then you're weaving it into your present life. It's the connection between spirit and body. It is the embodiment of spirit in this life. And so when you connect to your center, you're strengthening your connection with that field and you're bringing that creative energy more strongly into your center, so then you can access it in your life. So it's really like a channel of energy.
Well, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, and I'm sort of, you know, making connections, you know, in my brain with, you know, how, you know, women are starting to reclaim their time in the red tent, you know, have a better relationship with their menstrual cycle, you know, rather than reject it, you know, learn to embrace it and the importance of it and all of that. And I can't help but wonder, and I don't know if you've done any research on this, but do any of these practices, these things that you're talking about today that we're trying to help women restore or learn, do you think they go back to ancient times? I mean, do you think women of the past knew all of this stuff and we just lost it?
I do. I think that we did, because it feels intact on some deep place. And when I'm talking to the body, when I'm working with the body with women, there's like a resonance of truth there, of wholeness, that we both recognize, you know, the woman I'm working with and myself, and we all both kind of think, oh, wow, you know, this is really something. And so there's a sense to me, even kind of on the bone level, which would be ancestral, that there was a time when it was more intact. And I even think, you know, I will probably talk in a little bit about just how I try to keep this intact for my sons, but one of them, he likes to draw, and I brought a book of these sacred mandalas and was just letting him color them in. And I really see the body like a mandala, like we each have this beautiful pattern that the more we get in touch with it, the more we can give expression to it. And there are practices, you know, those really represent the spirit door too, and the female body, and there's a labyrinth, you know, there's so much there that I think is ancient, where we had an understanding of what it meant to come through the female body and come in. And I think of it too as it used to be, you know, when there were more honoring practices, I think it was easier to bring that spiritual energy into our lives. But as there's been more of the shaming and the disempowering around the female body, then I think it's trickier. And what people end up doing is they can't quite, you know, they leave some of their spirit energy behind because they come through and they try to align with the mother, where there's this place of shame right at the doorway. It's very confusing, I think, to babies. And so the more that we begin to honor and reclaim this, the more we're healing that, and it'll be easier for people to come in. You know, I had this meditation after I had a miscarriage that was a very mystical experience, and I share a little bit in the story Wild Feminine, but it actually was this phenomenal experience in my life where I really understood what a doorway this was. And I had a vision in the days after that miscarriage where I had this vision of all these souls waiting to come in, and they were really asking me, you know, I was asking the soul of this child that had come to me and then had become spirit instead of body, how do you want to be remembered? And it was really clear to me, please teach women how to remember the beauty and the sacredness of their bodies so that we can come into a place that's more intact. And as far as I could see, there were souls lined up behind the spirit. And so it's, you know, this is part of the work that we're doing, is healing this so it's easier for everybody coming in.
So the souls that were lined up behind the spirit were those spirits that were waiting to be born in, you know, in
that was my understanding.
Body.
Yes, they
but
were
not
necessarily gender.
Born
yeah.
to you, but just born
no.
to women all over.
That's what I mean. There were hundreds of them, and they were all sitting cross-legged on the ground, you know, and it was like, as far as I could see, I was looking out across this vast sea of people. And they didn't really have a gender, and they didn't really have a race. You know, it was like they were spirit forms. And they were really asking for us to remember.
Do you find, Tammy, that it's maybe women that come from the Judeo-Christian background where there's so much repression of the feminine, there's so much shame attached to sexuality? Do they have the most problem with this sort of work?
Well, not necessarily. It's kind of, everybody has a little different forms, you know. In some places, there's a little bit more connection with the feminine, but there's still a real repression of females. So, I've had women come from different ethnic backgrounds where they do have kind of an understanding of the feminine, or they do have female deities, but there's still an incredible repression of the female gender. And yet, the more Judeo-Christian, I would say, you know, they have a lot more, like, a lot of those women have really freedom to become whoever they want, to have jobs, you know, in whatever area they want. But then there's this underlying shame and sort of separation of spirit and sacredness of the body, you know, sort of separate of female body and what is sacred. And so it's kind of mixed, you know, everybody has their work to do, I would say.
Right, right. Well, let's talk, talk a little bit about how you work with your boys, because, I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's, I mean, I'm sure you'll speak to this. I mean, I think it's so important that boys understand the sacredness of the feminine and
right.
how to access the feminine within themselves. I mean,
yes.
What do you recommend mm-hmm. to mothers, sisters,
right.
aunts mm-hmm. out there, fathers,
yeah.
for that matter,
yeah.
who, you know, want to help boys not, you know, grow up in a world that's just about survival of the fittest, you know?
Right. Well, the most important thing they can do is get in touch with their own feminine field. And by that, I mean the more right brain, left body, that kind of holistic, intuitive field. Because the more we're modeling it, the boys actually really take cues from us a lot. And they take a lot of nonverbal cues. And I actually think they have quite a bit of potential to access the feminine because, you know, one thing, the boys not too long ago were the warriors and they were the hunters. And what that meant was they had to be quiet when they were out hunting. And so they have a lot of ability to communicate in the nonverbal realm. But I think what happens is this gets shut down, especially if they don't have mothers or teachers that recognize this. And so if a mother or teacher, for example, is a woman and has boys in her class and she isn't open in her feminine field, so her feminine field is kind of closed, she won't see the subtle communication patterns that come up in boys, and they won't get validated, and they will become more dormant. So one of the first things I did, and, you know, this sort of happened by accident, I talk about it a little bit in Wild Feminine, I sort of, on some level, some psychic level, thought maybe I wouldn't have to do my work as much if I had boys. I, you know, would get away with not having to do this deeper work. And yet what I found was it was almost more important because they were taking such cues off of me. And so I began delving into my own pain and my own wounding of the feminine so I could heal it. And I started to recognize how important this was for them because they were really looking to me for validation of being seen. And the more that we danced in the feminine realm together, the more they communicated to me in that way. So a lot of our communication is almost nonverbal.
Okay, so, all right, you're going to have to help me a little bit. When you
mm-hmm.
say they pick up your cues
yep.
and you dance together, I'm sure you, I think you mean that as a metaphor potentially.
Mm-hmm.
What does that really look like? I mean, give us
yeah.
some examples.
Yeah, so it's eye contact and it's energy. So they look to me and I look to them, and one of the first things I do is open my field and just send them the love, you know, like, I love you, I see you. And then they come back with me, and it might be real quick, like it might be, it's all before we can even get to the words. It's like, I am seeing them, and so without any, like, they're not having to ask me for attention, I'm present, you know, I'm in my present feminine space. So I see them before they even ask for that, and then they might say, Mom, watch how I kick this ball, because they already saw that I'm there, that I'm
mm-hmm.
present, that I'm in the being state. I'm just mindfully present. And so right there, they've already been validated that someone sees them on that level. Then they might ask, see me. And boys are pretty action-oriented, so they want to show you something. So they will show me the kick they can do, the high jump they can do, the ship that they just built. And they'll often put things like guns on that ship, you know, because that's where that expression of the masculine, where they have to work out some of those war things. And so what I do is I stay present with it, and I notice the beauty. So I give it a qualitative piece, and I say, wow, look how vibrant you were when you jumped. Or maybe they're showing me the ship they've created, and I'll say, look at the streamlined rockets on that. Look how that would move through the air. So I'm giving, that's a feminine response. I'm noticing the color, I'm noticing the texture, I'm noticing the beauty, and I'm reflecting the beauty of what they created or of their movement or who they are. And I do that day after day after day. And so what has happened is they're very intuitive, they're very attuned to energy, they're very aware. They can often articulate to me things that I think get shut down easily in boys. So, you know, a sensation that they had, like that made me feel kind of funny, or, you know, they're sharing an intuitive insight that they had, whether it's a movie they watched or a person that crossed their path. They're expressing in this intuitive realm because we've set up such a framework there.
So in a way, would it be wrong to say it's almost like they're mimicking your behavior in a sense? They learn that behavior rather than if you weren't doing those things, you know, maybe they only get their nurture from, I don't know, video games or how other boys interact. I mean, so you're showing them an alternative way to be.
Well, I think that every child is born with it kind of intact, and then they look for validation that that's a place they can be seen. And I think in general our culture validates productivity, which is an unbalanced masculine. It's what are you doing? You know, how have you, you know, what have you created that I can see? So it's more like product value based instead of just internal value based. And, you know, instead of your value is already intact and you're creating because you're having fun with your beauty rather than I need to create to validate my beauty or validate my worth. And so, you know, both children, genders are going to do this. But I think sometimes girls maybe have the ability to talk to us and kind of pull us back in because it's just a little easier for them to express emotions in general. And they have more fibers between the right and left hemisphere, so they can articulate those subtleties, whereas for boys, it's a little bit less verbal, especially with the connections and the feeling state. So like a girl might go ask for connection. I see this all the time in their classrooms. The girls might go up and try to connect with that teacher and actually ask for it or make connection. The boys won't do that. And if the teacher doesn't know how to see them, they just won't feel connected to that teacher.
I see. So that girls ask for the bonding. The boys,
yes.
It's more like the teacher has to reach out to them and pull them in.
The teacher has to see them. All they have to do is turn and see them. But to do that, they need to be present in the feminine. The feminine is where we pick up that intuitive information. And it's really what all, you know, when we talk about meditation on a deep level, we're talking about getting into that being state. And that's the feminine. That's the bridge to the divine. That's the bridge to this deep awareness. But most people are shut down in it. And a lot of the teachers that are female, I've seen as my kids have gone through school, are not connecting with the boys because they're not in their feminine, so they can't see them. So hence, they don't get seen a lot of the time.
Interesting.
What
other things do we need to know about giving boys greater access to the feminine?
So the other thing is creative energy and creative outlets. And so, you know, really knowing how to run that deep creative energy. So for all my kids, one of the things I look for is what brings them into that kind of dreamy feminine state with creative energy. So lots of materials for them to use and put their hands on and create things. We're working, like our oldest son is playing the guitar and now the piano. And our middle son really likes to draw. And it looks like our younger son might cook. You know, we're trying to find these places where they really love to give expression to something, and that's feminine energy. So making sure they have access to it and they run it. And the other is to really tune them into their bodies too, because again, the feminine is about being able to nurture yourself. And if you know how to nurture yourself, you can connect and nurture with others. So I do energy medicine with them where I have them close their eyes and center into their own body and do some relaxation at night, or if they're, you know, I have a lot of terms I talk to them, like, your energy is really spinning right now. Can you really ground yourself? So these are things, you know, we really talk about energy and body and how to take care of that. So they're learning that. I also, of course, I'm very comfortable with my body and when I have my menstrual cycle. So just as a model for them, you know, when I am bleeding, I say, oh, I'm on my bleeding time right now, so I'm really clearing, or I need to nurture myself right now because I'm feeling, you know, I talk to them about how my energy is more open and vulnerable when I'm bleeding. So literally talking to him about these things, and then I'm saying, you know, this is what I'm doing to take care of myself because I'm on my bleeding time. And it just, they are learning these things about the female body, even through me talking, that is inherently respectful of the feminine and honoring of the feminine.
Wow. This, you're doing awesome things, Tammy. I mean, I imagine if all mothers out there had the knowledge to do what you're doing, I mean, the next crop of boys coming up, you know, they're going to be a different creature, you know?
Yeah, they're going to be so connected, you know, and that connection and that feeling of connectedness is going to stay with them so that they can become beautiful men.
Well, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, boys raised the way you're raising your boys, you know, maybe that, you know, that gives us a chance to do away with, you know, the ugliness of, you know, obsessive pornography, domestic violence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, all of those horrible things, you know, female genital mutilation, you know, just all of those, you know, all of those, you know, things that hurt women so badly, you know, you know, through sexuality or gender on gender abuse, you know, I can see it disappearing, you know, because they will just be in such a different headspace.
Yeah. That's right. I think any time I see that happening, I think there's a man whose own feminine has been wounded, and they're acting that out in some way. And even, you know, I do readings of Wild Feminine. I have men in the audience, and I see so many young men just nodding when I talk about. I read some of the stories of being with my sons and the feminine getting shut down, and me stepping up, and I've had to advocate for them over and over again. And there's a few stories in Wild Feminine, and I read them, and one of the men. It was a place where we were doing kind of question and answer, and he was saying, I'm just remembering the pain of when the feminine became sexualized around the time I was an adolescent and forbidden.
Mm.
And, you know, that's just a subtle, and here's probably a beautiful man who's still working on things, you know, and that's, we're not even talking about the abuse layer, but that's someone who can articulate that it's just, it is absolutely, and sometimes it becomes, it's the woman mother's discomfort with her own femininity that maybe she kind of pushes the son away, you know, and it's like, this is the feminine, it is beautiful, and I can hug you and love you, and it's not sexual, you know, between us, and we can still have this connection in deep place, and then you can take your connection into sexuality, but you can see where it starts to get blocked if people don't have a complete comfort with their feminine side.
Well, I'm curious, how do your son's friends react? I mean, can they be open and honest with their friends about how their life is probably so different than their friends? Or is it, you know, is that still difficult?
Yeah, you know, it's a mixture. And my oldest is an 11-year-old, so I think we're still kind of entering that territory where, you know, a lot of what their play is playing soccer or something. They're not talking about these things so much. So I think it'll be interesting. You know, my sons, so far, they're really able to articulate things, and they'll share things. I mean, what's happening right now is, you know, my oldest is just sharing some of the references, the kind of references of another, you know, another boy sort of expressing something about, that's so gay or something, you know, and I think, again, that's the discomfort with the feminine getting acted out, and it becomes this thing. But he's aware, and he senses he's like, that's just so disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
To hear that coming from an 11-year-old, it's like, you are so right, honey, and it doesn't feel very good, does it, you know? And we talk a lot about respect and holding space, and I think when children feel like their space has been so held in a respectful manner, they understand the discord, and then they learn that they don't have to, they can witness it, and it's painful, but they don't have to embody it. They can just kind of go, ugh, look at that, and they share it, and then we kind of talk about it, and I have a feeling we'll just continue the dialogue.
Oh,
but my
wonderful.
Sons are, you know, they're really proud. They're really proud of Wild Feminine. They're proud of it as a book. They just feel this pride. And they also, they know, this is again where it's on this deep level, they know the space that's being held for them and the difference it's making on some deep soul level. And I feel their deep appreciation.
Well, I wish you could teach thousands of women how to do this. I mean, it would just make such a difference.
Yeah.
such a difference in the world. But I want to hear what you have to say about reading the collective patterns. I'm curious about that. How are you connecting your book to 9/11 and the 2008 election? And you say emphasis on production. And put it in that realm a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's just really interesting because I sit with a woman and then I sit with many women. And each week what I notice, just even in a given week, is oftentimes we are in cycles and we're connected and women are experiencing similar things, either a real period of creative growth or a period of really dissolution. Things are breaking apart. Women are having a lot of struggle. And it's just interesting to me, like, oh, this is a creative thread that a lot of people are following right now. So there's that. 9/11 was really influenced me and got me starting to write Wild Feminine in earnest. It's kind of when I set down my commitment to this, doing this work on paper, because I was seeing all these amazing things in women. I was seeing patterns. I was seeing patterns that related to family structure, to culture, and was fascinated by them, and I was feeling them in my own body. But it was when 9/11 happened, I had about 5 clients the next day, and I'd all seen them. I'd seen them before, and I knew their bodies were all balanced, and they were kind of ready to just move out on their own. So I'd already experienced their pelvic floors were in pretty good shape and their energy was in good shape. And so that event, you know, happened on a Tuesday and it was Wednesday. I had 5 people. And so I went in and each person had an incredible shock trauma pattern in her root. And here we were across the country and no one had been directly affected or even had family affected. It was just from the sheer magnitude of that event had blown across the country and done this shock pattern right through the root chakra. And so what I mean by that is everybody had high-level trigger points, like 8s and 9s all the way around their pelvic floor. They had it sounds like static in the electrical field when you have a shock pattern. It's just like everything is kind of disorganized and you feel a little bit out of it. And that was in everybody's field. And so first of all, just seeing that collective pattern, and then second of all, knowing, you know, that's the trauma pattern. That's not where we want to stop. We want to stop with the healing. And the healing is the rebalancing and the coming back in of the beauty and the energy that aligns it. And so I felt like it was my job really to put this down onto paper and give women a resource so they could begin, because not many people are going to have the experience I have gotten to do where I've sat with thousands of women and really read the female body and learned about how to work with the energy field. So this is like an energetic and physical map to help women begin, to have a beginning place. And I said, I'm going to write this, and it started out as kind of a case study of notebook of just really researching and looking at what I was seeing with people. I would write down patterns each week of what I was noticing and what I was learning, and it eventually came to form in a book. And sort of the first part of that story is that I approached the publishing realm, and even though I got just an amazing agent to pick it up in 2003, he brought it to the women publishers who in New York were all probably pretty unbalanced masculine, lack of feminine, mm-hmm. and they all had a universally negative reaction to it. And they were not able.
It was this foo-foo fluff that.
And I think they were like, the vagina is sacred. Oh my God. You know, like there were a lot of strong reactions to it. And so, you know, I had to drop the mainstream way of bringing this book into form. And I had to go and I started drumming and really doing this deeper current of going to the river and praying, and had a couple of beautiful experiences with an eagle coming down and meeting me. And just long story short, it took longer and I had to really sit with it on this deeper level. But it got to a point where I was able to self-publish it in 2008. And I never knew, I was like, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this or when it'll finish, but it sort of had its own rhythm. And it came together right in the weeks right before we had the 2008 election. You could really feel that change that happened, mm-hmm. right as Obama was coming in, who's a very balanced feminine masculine being. And it was literally like a week before he came into office, or was elected actually, that, you know, it just sort of, the book all coalesced, and then it came, and I think I got the first copy of the book on my doorstep maybe a week or two after he was elected. And it was just this collective shifting of coming into a different pattern, and there was enough strength in that field to help hold this work. And then eventually it got picked up by a publisher about 2 years later, and so now it's in this form. And there's just this shift happening that I feel very strongly, because I'm so in tune with my center and I'm seeing it in women's bodies, that there's just more and more access to what I call the feminine or the blessing energy. There's just this presence. And if people will tune out the external, which is kind of everything is dissolving, because anything that hasn't really run on the feminine is breaking down. And we're coming into this new potential, but you have to tune into your center to start to feel it and to really feel the growing energy and begin to align with that, align from the center and bring in more feminine energy. And if everyone will start with their own bodies, that's a huge help and it will strengthen it. You know, as each person, it's like a radio frequency. If everybody will tune in, then it's going to get stronger and it's going to get stronger. And each one of us helps another to grow stronger in that.
So what you're saying, the paradigm shift we're all feeling is upon us or, you know, coming soon. That's sort of what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. It's all patterns, you know, patterns of change. And I think it is tied to the Maya time cycle. I think what those people were talking who were very aware at reading patterns on this deep level, I think they were talking about this shift in potential and the shift in alignment that's happening. And we're in it right now, and we're kind of completing this last piece of the cycle before we shift into this next plane. And it's a potential for energy. It's a new portal, if you will, of just energy coming in that we can tune into and we can run on if we change our patterns so that we know how to access it in our bodies.
So, Tammy, forgive me for, you know, breaking it down to such a simple point, but, you know, understanding that there are people out there who don't know about Reiki, maybe I even have some listeners who have, you know, people in their church. I mean, I've heard that some of the bishops, you know, even say Reiki is evil and ridiculous stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, yoga is evil, silly stuff. But if you don't know about energy, if that's something that's foreign to you, how do you start? I mean, how do you begin? You know, what's sort of like the, you know, kindergarten or first grade lesson to begin to shift into the feminine when you don't really understand energy?
Right. Well, I think there's a couple things. You know, one is to really tune into your own center. If you have any kind of contemplative or meditation practice, you know, if you're religious, prayer is one way to really bring it. But don't pray. Bring it really into your own center and really link it with your life. Live your faith. What are you doing here? What is your soul purpose? Really giving expression to that. Taking that seriously and really finding out what is it that you're here to create? What is it that you're doing? What are you going to do with this precious life? And then, you know, if it's on a more, if you do meditation, it's tuning in. And really, I think it's helpful to do it on the micro and the macro level. And by that, I mean micro daily meditation that's 3 to 5 minutes, just tuning into your center. Maybe if you feel comfortable with breath and awareness, you walk around your pelvic bowl and kind of sweep it out, just really clarify the field, and then set an intention or two right in your center. What is your day today? You know, maybe it's just to be radiant in my day, to acknowledge with love everyone I meet, to hold myself in love, to come one step closer to beginning my creative dreams. It's whatever you're feeling like you're going to do, and you set that there right in the center, and you bless it. You give some sort of blessing around it. That can be like a beautiful golden light that you bring around your body. It can be positive words, affirmations. May I be blessed. May I be whole. May I be held. Those sorts of things really help us align our energy. And then on the macro, I encourage people to write down 5 to 7 creative goals and put them in different areas of your life. What are you working on in your relationship? What are you working on just for your own creative ability? What are you doing in your work? And kind of start to see the thread that runs through these. Set them down on paper and then look at them each month and just kind of check in. And when you start doing that, you're planting seeds and you're more likely to take action because you may draw things to you that all of a sudden it's like, oh, I was saying I wanted to do something like that. And then there it is and you start following it. Or I think it even sometimes brings those things to your field. You know, you cross paths with someone or something that might be helpful in that way. So it's like the macro is kind of setting down those goals for the year. I've done this since 1999 and I set them down and I check them each month, and then I change them at the beginning of the year. And then on the micro, it's just right in that day doing a little meditation.
Okay. So you're really sort of giving your life focus, rather than just sort of being this feather in the wind without a particular focus or a particular goal.
So this is what I think the creative energy is, you know, and the feminine is, rather than just plugging into the external structures of relationship or of work or of what, you know, taking your creative energy and kind of plugging it into something, it's actually actively, dynamically engaging your own creative energy so that you're kind of co-creating your life. You know, you're working
right.
with the divine energy and you're manifesting it. And it is very powerful if people will actively do that and realize they have this potential of bringing the divine in through their center and that it's a blessing for them, then, you know, they can work on healing their own centers. They can work on healing or deepening their partnership with their beloved, with their children, with the work they're doing in the world. It's very powerful. And I think this creative thread is really meant to weave all throughout our lives, you know, not just in one segment, but really through each day and each aspect.
Now, Tammy, I think we have a caller who might have a question for you. I'm going to – it could be they're just listening, and that's fine,
okay.
too, but I'm going to check in just to see if they might have a question for you. Is that okay?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Hi, caller from the 818 area code. Do you have a question for Tammy, or are you just listening?
I have a question. Thank you. Hi, Karen. It's Dharma. And,
hi, Dharma.
Hi. I have a question for Tammy because, you know, I have a little boy, too. And as you know, I'm very new to the whole feminine thing. The only thing I have ever known was Mary Guadalupe. So I'm working with my son on this. We talk about it, and then he goes to school, and he comes back with all the patriarchy and the negative, you know, all the masculine, not the good masculine, but the twisted masculine things. And I was wondering, how do you prove or how do you work that?
Yes. So, a couple things. There's a book called Who's Calling the Shots?
Uh-huh.
You might write that down. Who's Calling the Shots?
Yes.
Do you have that book?
I don't have the book. I just wrote it. Do you know, is that you wrote it or...
No. It's a book by, I forget the author's name because it's so long, but it's actually Matt Damon's mother, who's, you know, the actor Matt Damon. And she is a teacher, and she has spent her life kind of talking about and writing about how to engage those kind of negative aspects of the masculine, some of which are just natural impulses, but then they get magnified because there's so much access to video games and things. So that book is so good for understanding because the most important thing is we don't want to repress these things in our boys. We don't want to tell them they're wrong for having these sort of, you know, it's a lot of acting out, maybe talking about fighting energy, or we call it in our house, we call it fighting energy, or, you know, there's things that they do. I'm not sure. How old is he?
He's five. Well, he's
five,
four, but he'll be five soon.
So he's just learning to manage this. As he gets older, it will get softer. But when they're about four or five, it's a lot about shooting and killing and bombing. And I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but that's the first way it comes up. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no. I keep – there's no guns in my house or, you know,
yeah.
we don't play with those or anything. And I made it clear to the teacher. But when we are together and we're working on this and he knows the sacred feminine, he understands the concept – we don't say, hey, you know. We say, may you please, and we're nice, and we're, you know. And then he goes to school, and he comes back, and he's like, barks orders and gets tantrumy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of that is just normal child.
Okay.
So, you know, the thing I do, so be careful not to narrow down too much and become kind of a taskmaster about this, because what you'll be doing is you'll be showing him the unbalanced masculine trying to enforce the feminine.
Okay.
So you have to kind of open up and soften. And it's not that you don't ask for respect and encourage him to have respect, but you want to be in your feminine realm and kind of open the space. And remember, you've got a long-term pattern here. So it's like sometimes, you know, what I do is I feel it from my center.
Uh-huh.
And I tell my sons, with each time, I kind of come at it a little bit different. Like I might say, you know, we need to be more respectful now, but I'm saying it in a soft and loving way, and my complete heart is open when I'm saying that. I'm not shutting him off or shutting him down when he's doing something that I don't like. I'm loving him and encouraging him to shift. Do you know?
Right.
So I'm showing him the feminine. Now, there are times when I get a sharp kind of, this could be maybe the strong feminine, or it might even be a little bit of masculine, where I say, that's enough, you know, but probably not at that age, a little bit older. Because it's, you know, he's still learning how to navigate this realm. And the thing you have to remember is the boys have to go into the boy world. And it's difficult, you know, especially when there's codes about not sharing your feelings. So sometimes if they come home and they're acting up, they might have had something painful happen at school. They might have been teased or something came up. And the way that they're expressing to you is through the harshness or the anger, because boys' emotions often go quickly to the anger. It's a primitive wiring pattern that came from when they were the hunters and the fighters. They didn't have time to sit around and process the feeling, so it kind of goes quickly to rage. So what I notice is I'll say, seems like you're upset right now, and I will just validate what they're feeling and, you know, did something happen today? And then I'll see if something comes. They might be able to give it words, or they might not, or they might just soften their energy, and that might be it. So I'm really meeting it in this other realm. I'm not engaging it in a really kind of, you know, if you get into a battle over it, it will become something that he's feeling like repressed and maybe needs to rebel or something. So you have to soften and kind of open and read his energy a little bit and think, you know, there's a lot of factors. He's still very young. And there's a normal developmental process, too, that they become more sophisticated in their expression. And I've seen this now because I have an 11-year-old, you know. So now I probably give more room to the younger ones, because now I realize how much they're trying to hold together and how much they're trying to understand and how much they're trying to read.
Great.
Does that help
you? Can I just
ask
you one more question? It helped me immensely. Yeah, I just have one more question, Karen, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. When you talked about, you teach them about holding space, that's a very new concept for me. Do you mind explaining that a little more?
Yeah, you mean when I say, for me, when I'm holding space for them? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. So that's where I get centered in my body. And Wild Feminine, if you don't have a copy, you might want to get it and read it, because it really helps you understand how to hold space with your body. So what I do is I feel the earth connection between the base of my pelvic bowl and the earth. So I really ground. And then I open my field and I have this nice, big, energetic bowl. And that's where I hold space from. And so I watch what happens in my energy field. So if my son, you know, if something happens with one of my children, I try as much as possible to remain neutral. If I'm getting upset or activated, I probably need to stop engaging, because somehow something they said is triggering me. So I need to back up a little bit and kind of see what's going. So I back up and I give myself more space. And I read them a little bit more, like, are they upset? Is that what's going on? Are they trying to get my attention? Are they just tired and hungry and they've had a long day? And maybe we need to table this for another time. You know, whenever you want to teach your kids something, when you're in the heat of the moment isn't always the best time. You know, like maybe later when you're cuddled together, it's like, you know, when you were talking earlier, you know, I really want to talk to each other with respect. And it goes back and forth, you know, you're giving it and you're receiving it. So it's just, that's how you hold space. And there's so much that you can do with your energy field, with you just stand back and you really hold space and you work from there. You can see more clearly, you can work with energy, you can see what's happening, and it's just a practice, but it's so effective with children. And I also use blessings. You know, I use that a lot. May he always have respect for the feminine. May he have a strong masculine. May he be vibrantly happy. May we have a dynamic relationship. I say those things on a regular basis.
Okay. I will do. Thank you very much.
Well,
you're
thank you
so
for
welcome.
Calling in, Dharma. Thank you, Dharma. Good night.
Good night.
Take good care.
So, Tammy, we're going to probably start to wrap this up, but I know we covered a lot of things, but was there anything I didn't ask you that you think it might be important to leave listeners with?
I think the most important thing is for women to really love their beauty, love that beauty of the body, love that creative vibrance that comes out of the center. The more that women love and cherish themselves, the more the feminine comes in and helps them in their life, helps them with compassion, whether they're mothering or they're healing or they're creating something dynamic and wonderful. It's just so helpful. And it's by loving that center, that place, that it really grows stronger.
Well, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, and you know, to talking about how you're raising your sons, and you know, I'm thinking about what you said about teachers earlier. You know, women's work, you know, the sacred feminine, whether you're mothering, whether you're teaching, it's such vital, important work that is so underestimated. It's such hard work. It's such important work, and it just seems to me, especially in, you know, right now in our culture, you know, we really so desperately need a shift to, you know, so that people understand, you know, just how important it is, and the influence mothers and teachers can have on, you know, the future of our world. It's
right.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm expressing myself properly, but you know, it just seems like, you know, lately, you know, teachers have been getting a hit, and well, you know, the sacred feminine has always, you know, never really been, you know, totally valued in patriarchy,
right.
You know, but to hear you talk, you know, how, you know, the effort you're really putting into this,
I think
it's a new way of being.
Yes, it is, and the more that we each become aware of our little piece, you know, the more collectively we'll begin to shift, and for me it is advocating sometimes and speaking up, and, you know, what it really offers is more resources, because even when I talk about what's happening with the teachers, they're frustrated, you know, and they don't know, or, you know, a mother that's going through that, it's frustrating, and this actually offers so many more resources and help. It's infinitely creative, so, you know, rather than it being black or white, there's so much here to help us, and so the more we tune in, the more we can actually receive this abundance that's sitting here waiting for us to tap into it.
Ancient tools at our disposal to help us in contemporary days. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes,
Well, Tammy, thank you so much. And I want to mention your website again. It's wildfeminine.com. Thank you so much for being on the show. I've really learned a lot, and I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Karen. And you might just say, too, you know, on my website, there's a newsletter. So if people want more of this kind of information, I'm putting it out there so we can apply it more and more so people can sign up on my website for that.
Oh, well, great. That's fantastic. Thank you for being sure to mention it. Well, good night.
Good night, Karen. Thanks so much.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Karen Tate, hostess of Voices of the Sacred Feminine, where we discuss goddess, the divine feminine, and the resurging interest in right brain thinking and the feminine consciousness, whether the great she be deity, archetype, or ideal, and how these new values, these new touchstones, these new benchmarks have the ability to help us save ourselves and save the world. Well, it's that time when we're crossing the threshold into the bottom of the show. And I want to remind you who our guest is going to be next week. It's Jeannie Sable, and our topic is going to be GMOs, genetically modified food, how that's working against Mother Nature. And tentatively, we have scheduled on the 30th. We've changed the date here. I believe it's going to be Monday the 30th. That's Memorial Day. We're going to have filmmaker Renee Barrett. He's returning to the show. He made the docudrama Bloodline, which updates us on new revelations about the bloodline of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Some very, very interesting stuff. So I think I'd like to close tonight's show with just a prayer that comes from the Goddess Temple of Orange County. So if you would, let's sort of, you know, shift out of talk and chat mode, and you know, maybe shift into that you know, that quiet place, that place of the divine sacred feminine within yourself. Close your eyes and take a deep breath with me. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, and you know, just sort of bring a more deep, you know, a little bit deeper focus to the words I'm about to share with you from the Goddess Temple. You know, just sort of shift focus and go within. Go to that place where we connect with the divine, with our mother, our sacred self. Great Goddess, living, moving, breathing, and eternally renewing in woman, throughout all time, whatever the many catastrophes befalling humanity, woman has prevailed in beauty and power. We are grateful for the eternal divine female power that lives in each of us, giving us all what we need to do to continue the human race, to continue our own experience of joy and renewal each year, each day, each moment. Blessed be. Well, listeners, let me say, may we all find our voice. Let us use it in whatever way we can. Let us learn to be her sacred roar. Good night, and thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday. And I'm going to leave you, I think with a beautiful song by Sabbath Nights. We have not played this yet, and a really nice song. It's called Sabbath Nights by Witchmark, kind of a upbeat rock and roll song, and I think you'll enjoy it. So here goes for the next 5 minutes. Good night, listeners. Enjoy.
queen of the moon and queen of fire. Hearken to this witch's rune, bring to me my heart's desire.